All right, God bless. Thank you so much. You know, recently we've been having a lot of hot temperatures, and at least here in the last few days in the San Diego area, and possibly wherever it is that you all live too. So I thought that tonight's teaching title would be appropriate: thermometer or thermostat. You know, I read an article recently that stated there are so many that have more knowledge of the Bible than I do. Sometimes I marvel at the in-depth knowledge of some Bible teachers. For some, the knowledge of the Word has changed their lives, but others seem unchanged. Does our learning only serve to inform us, or does it transform us? You know, in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." The Word declares that the true renewing of the mind will transform us. And that's the same word that's used when Jesus was transfigured before some disciples in Matthew chapter 17. Words are important, and if the renewing of the mind is to transform or transfigure us, then why are there so many filled with Bible knowledge but no transformation? Trying to dot every I and cross every T with regard to Bible knowledge, that's not really a bad thing. But are we being transformed? Are we loving more, giving more, forgiving more, and filled with joy and peace? Is our marriage better? Are our children blessed and our future filled with vision? You know, the grace of God is a transforming power and provision for every need. It is not a doctrine to be understood, but a transformed life to be lived. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 2, it says, paraphrase, "We can all know mysteries, but if we have not love," it says what? "We are nothing." Nothing. So, good question. Are you walking in the fruit of the Spirit? Do you spend more time trying to understand Bible trivia than you do thinking of how to bless other people? Are you pursuing information to impress yourself and others? Or the transformation that will bring blessings to your life and the lives of others? The gospel of God's love and grace is a transforming power. And the result of a transformed life is peace, love, joy, faith, kindness, generosity, and a heart that forgives. Let the Word do its work in you. The answers to your questions will come in time, but the time is now to live a transformed life. That is what the world around you needs to see. It's an article written by a gentleman by the name of Barry Bennett, and I just thought that was so timely. His title was Information or Transformation, but you'll see why I kind of retitled it. Thank you, Barry, for that great inspiration, wonderful article, great man of God. Again, let's read Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We've heard these verses many, 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 many times. But I want to present this information in a little different fashion here today. And the question was once asked, are you a thermometer reading and adjusting to the temperature of the culture? Or are you a thermostat setting and expecting to change the climate of the culture? If you are a conformer, a thermometer, you are probably in for perpetual frustration, because if you try to adapt, the world will already move on, leaving you in a constant state of trying to keep up. Now think about what a thermostat does. In these warm temperatures, what? You set the thermostat to a desired temperature, and guess what? The thermostat controls it, right? A thermostat, on the other hand, can be set to achieve a fixed predetermined climate. So how can we be not conform? What's the key? Well, one way to look at it, and I trust that you'll remember this, is don't be a thermometer. Be a thermostat. Don't be a conformer. Be a transformer. No conformer, transformer. We can honestly say, I'm in a whole different place than you are, world. I'm living in eternity. I'm living for eternity. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through, right? We sing the words, but do our lives exhibit, and are we being transformed? See, you know, not being conformed is not so much a negative approach as it is a positive one. It's not that you stop doing a few things that other people are doing that are regarded as quote-unquote wrong. It is more that you start doing some things that they don't do at all. Like, how about this one? Loving your enemy. Try doing that one in your own strength. Forgiving when you have been unjustly wronged. Returning good for evil. Showing kindness to those who are repaying you with an ungrateful attitude. And as Bob so wonderfully shared last night, we operate the power of the Spirit by what? Speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues. These attitudes and actions, these are the characteristics that living sacrifices are to carry out. This is what transformation looks like. See? This quality of conduct is what it looks like practically to not be conformed to the world. The way to see this supernatural lifestyle become a reality is to be transformed by what? Having your mind renewed so that you begin to think less and less like the fallen world does and think more and more like Christ in us would have us to think and act. Here's a couple of examples. A scuba diver enjoys being under the water, right? But he breathes the air, right? He still has to have air. He's able to function because he takes his environment with him. If he conforms to the environment around him, guess what? Bye-bye, scuba diver. Yeah. He's going to die. Another example. Some years ago, musicians noted that errand boys in certain parts of London all whistled out of tune as they went about their work. It was talked about, and someone suggested that it was because the bells of Westminster were slightly out of tune. Something had gone wrong with the chimes, and they were out of harmony. The boys did not know there was anything wrong with the way they sounded, and quite unconsciously, they had copied the pitch out of tune. So guess what? We tend to copy the people with whom we associate. We borrow thoughts from the books we read and the programs to which we listen almost unconsciously without even knowing it. It's like riding a bike with crooked handlebars and not knowing the difference. But thankfully, God has given us His Word, which is the absolute pitch perfect of life and living. It was once said, if we learn to sing by it, we shall easily detect the faults in all of the music of the world. Let's read that real quickly again, Romans 12, 1 and 2. This is some great examples. Because we don't want to just be informed. We want to be transformed. See? We want to be both. We want to be informed and we want to be transformed too. Of course, you're familiar with it. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. One version says, but let God transform you inwardly by a complete change of your mind. You see in it where it says, and be not conformed to this world, and then it uses what? But. And this really presents a strong reversal of direction. and it follows up a negative command with a strong positive command to emphasize the dramatic contrast between external conformity and internal transformation. The opposite of being conformed to this world is being transformed by the renewing of the mind. The battleground between an evil conformity and a good transformation is within a person's mind. Mind, the battlefield is the mind. You know, the word transform, we'll get into a couple of little things here. Now, stick with me here. The word transform is in what they call the passive voice. Okay, it indicates that this process is being performed by an outside force, not the change produced by our own self-effort. We must be transformed by God, trusting Him to do in and through us what only His Spirit can accomplish. In other words, another way to illustrate this is, if I said to you, I'm going to the store, that's active. If I said to you, I was taken to the store, that's passive, because someone else drove me. So the gist of what Paul is saying here is that once we become living sacrifices, something beautiful happens. Someone else is transforming us. It's not on us to transform ourselves. See? And furthermore, this word transformed is in the present tense, signifying that this is not just a one-time event. It's not a single crisis experience, but a transformation that is progressively being realized. It is a gradual process, this transformation. So it's in the passive voice. It's in the present tense, and it's also in the imperative mood. Now, we don't think about these English terms a lot. That's why I'm trying to take the time to really explain them, because it really helps us to get a greater understanding. The imperative mood means basically a command, which means believers have some responsibility in this transformation, right? How so? Because you know what it says? And be ye transformed. It just doesn't say allow it to, you know, you just sit back and wait for the check in the mail. You have an active role in partnership with God. How do we do this? Well, we're to have tender hearts, obedient wills that are submissive so that we might allow the Spirit of God to do His work within our hearts and lives, and to be adaptable and flexible through times of change, regardless of how we're feeling during the process of change. Change isn't always easy. It isn't always comfortable. You know, climbers going up Mount Everest, they aren't always just overjoyed with the fact that they're climbing. You know when the joy comes? When they reach the top of the peak, when they stick the flag at the top. See, climbing the hill is not that much fun sometimes. See, God's not saying that it has to be difficult. See, but we have to play a role. So, you know, a great man, his name's Dwight Moody. You might remember him from the Moody Bible Institute. He said, the scriptures were not given for our information, but for our transformation. You see, that's a stumbling block for many, 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 many people, is they don't think they know enough of the scriptures. And that is a huge lie, because it's not the knowledge of the scriptures. It is God's working within us with what God's ability is. If we know squat about the scriptures, God can still do a mighty work. See? So, summarize this, wrap it all up here. Are you a thermometer? Are you reading and adjusting to the temperature of the culture? Or are you a thermostat? Are you setting and expecting to change the climate of the culture? See, part of this is in our identity of realizing who we are. How many times have we heard this constantly? Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. We heard it way back. What power the church had if they only knew it. When will we rise up to that point where we just say yes to the Word of God? To allow God to be able to have a willing participant to be transferred into the image of Christ. So let's allow the information that we do gather to not just be stored up there, you know, in the computer of your mind, so that we are just filled with knowledge. But we let that knowledge renew us in our minds, and then that opens the opportunity for us to experience supernatural and godly transformation. Amen? Yeah. God says, don't be conformed to this world. Don't be conformed. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold and make you something that is not who you are. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, putting on information in your mind about what God says about you. Yes, God loves me. God thinks highly of me. I am a child of God. I've got the righteousness of God. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what my bank account says. I don't care whatever worldly standards may be trying to put something on me. It's possible for God to transform me. See? The grace of God, it's a transforming power, and it's a provision for every need. It's not a doctrine to be understood. It's a transformed life that's lived out day by day, moment by moment. And yes, speaking in tongues is a huge part in facilitating that transformation to occur. But it's God who is the one who is doing the transformation in our hearts and lives. Yes, we get the joy and opportunity to speak in tongues, but we're not forcing God's hand because now we're speaking in tongues. See, it's not quite that simple, you know. It's not like we have to twist God's arm behind his back to get him to do something on our behalf. We speak in tongues because we love God, because we're praying perfectly to God, we're worshiping God, we're praising God, we're giving thanks to God. It's not a legalistic work. We do it because we love God. He is the absolute most important number one factor that's so fabulous in all of our lives. And this is a way we get to offer praise and thanksgiving. What a joyful, joyful, joyful thing. And you know what else? It says in Acts chapter 2, and the Lord added daily to the church those that were being praised. And it says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. You know, eating of bread, breaking of prayers, praising God and giving thanks. And the Lord added to the church daily. So yes, speak in tongues much. It's praise. It's praise to God. And boy, the devil hates praise. But it confuses him with people who are supposed to be all burdened down by all these circumstances. Rise up and praise in the storm. Praise in any circumstance. And in that process, we are transformed to have minds like Christ, who just walked through the valley of the shadow of death. Pretty much just said, I will fear no evil. He went to the cross, believing God would raise him from the dead. It's incredible. And that's who lives within you. That's who lives within me. I've got the power. I've got the power. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Father God, thank you for this living, loving, wonderful Word of God, Father, that enables us far beyond our human capacity. And Father, thank you for helping us to be our best, to get our minds up there and renewed. And God, that we just submit ourselves, we bow before you in humility. And Father, that you promise that transformation can occur and that we can walk in the steps of our brother Jesus Christ. We're going to look just like him when we go out there, because we're all transformed into what he looked like. And it's not in our strength that it's happening. So praise you, God. We thank you for this wonderful opportunity to be together, to learn and grow, Father, but most importantly, to draw closer to you in our relationship. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.